Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning. No, not Tim Wildman. This is Abraham Hamilton III in for Tim Wildman. I'm here with our American Family News Director, Fred Jackson.
Morning, Abe. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We are, Fred called us the B team yesterday. Maybe say C or D team. I don't know.
Maybe the CU team.
But Tim and Ed, they're at the Cove with Dan Celia, Sandy Rios, a whole host of AFA Sterling lineup. They're just spending time of refreshment, a time of retreat. But also a time of refiring, where the word of God is being proclaimed with great zeal and power. And many of the AFA supporters are there now, being refueled for the battle that is ahead of us.
It was sold out.
Yeah.
There were people that I talked to at our church and said they'd love to go, but it was sold out.
Wow.
That's how popular it's become.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think the current election cycle probably is driving a lot of people, too.
Yeah. I mean, because when you look at the horizons. It can you think of a better time? I know the scripture says, as much as you see the evil day approaching, let us exhort one another. Can you think of a better time to want to spend time, first of all, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but secondarily, to be realigned, if you will, with those of us who are on the front lines?
Amen.
Beating back the darkness. I often say that here at AFA, we're kind of like air cover.
Yeah.
You know, trying to provide air cover so the ground troops can have their have room to be able to maneuver. So
yeah.
It's a great event. It's a great time. It's an honor to be with you guys here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
As always, lots of things are going on in the world. Fred, you brought a couple stories to my attention this morning. First, I think it would be good to discuss this hurricane in Haiti.
Yeah, Hurricane Matthew came ashore on the southern peninsula of Haiti this morning. And, of course, everybody knows Haiti is a incredibly poor country, and the structures that people live in there. They were saying this morning that they would have little hope. This is a Cat 4 hurricane, sustained winds, 145-mile-an-hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
Even the strong buildings in this country could not withstand that kind of force.
Yeah, for perspective, Hurricane Katrina was a Category 5 until it made landfall, and it made landfall as a hurricane as a Category 4. So
yeah,
you have Hurricane Katrina-size winds or force winds barreling down on the little island of Haiti.
Absolutely.
Well, the little island where Haiti is located.
Yeah, and then on the eastern half, of course, this storm is plowing up through that area, and so it's catching the eastern half of the island of Cuba, and that's where Guantanamo Bay is, so we have military personnel there.
Mm-hmm.
That are feeling the effects of this. But also, I was telling Abe just before we went on the air a few moments ago, I had the opportunity to go to Cuba a few years ago with Trans World Radio, and they are building a stronger signal so that more Christians get Christian radio there. But I had the opportunity to go to Eastern Cuba. There are many Christians there, folks, many Christians in little churches. One of the pastors we met with, he pastors 11 little congregations.
Wow.
He's blind man.
Wow.
And he hitchhikes to go visit these little congregations all over eastern Cuba. So I'll be praying for them today. But the other news on Hurricane Matthew this morning is they had, you know, how they predict different tracks where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of the models this morning, folks, are predicting it's taking a turn to the west. And it's going to slam into that eastern coast of Florida now.
Mm.
And they're saying it's going to move up along the coastline. South Carolina, North Carolina is over the next couple of days. And they're even predicting some impact up in the northeast. So this is a monster storm. And it's being fed by these hot waters. Some of the water temperatures now just south of Haiti, south of Cuba, 87 degrees.
Wow.
It's like a sauna
in
the Caribbean right now.
Yeah.
And so this just strengthens a hurricane. And as long as it stays over those warm waters, it's going to remain strong. So be praying for the dear folks in Haiti and in that eastern part of Cuba, but all along the eastern seaboard of the United States. This is serious.
It's very serious. And our audience is a Christian network. Our audience is predominantly Christians. One of the things that drives the Christian worldview is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion for members of the faith, the household of faith, as well as those who may not know the Lord yet. So please, please join us in praying for the people of Haiti and Cuba and even Florida, all the way up the East Coast, wherever the storm may be projected to go and wherever it does go. Because these things are nothing to play with. I mean, I've shared on this radio network before, Hurricane Katrina changed my life. You know, in one day, the home I'd grown up in, I never was able to go back to.
Wow.
You know, and worst of all in all of this was the loss of life that occurred during Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And then numerous, I mean, for example, I don't have any baby pictures or any of those things have just were destroyed. So this is not anything to play with.
No.
This is very, very serious.
Absolutely. Of course, the other thing thing making big news today is the debate tonight, vice presidential debate.
Yes, sir.
And Governor Pence versus Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. It's being held at the Logwood College, which is in Virginia. Now, I think we talked about this yesterday, Abe. I doubt the audience is going to be as big as it was for the first debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Nevertheless, you never know what's going to happen in the vice presidential debates through history. There have been a couple of good lines come out sometimes. The speculation this morning is that Tim Kaine will likely go after Governor Pence on Donald Trump's record versus something that Governor Pence has done. But if something that may come up is, of course, what happened in Indiana, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was signed into law by Governor Pence, and then he backed away from it a little bit. It was aimed at protecting Christian businesses, and there was such a flurry of controversy across the country, business community, et cetera, that he backed away from that a little bit. So he may be asked about that tonight. But also, we're also talking before we go on the air, Bill Clinton may have handed Governor Pence a jewel tonight. Because Bill Clinton, a little bit like Joe Biden when it comes to speaking off the cuff, he seldom uses kind of the teleprompter. But Bill Clinton, campaigning for his wife in Michigan yesterday, referred to Obamacare as a crazy system where millions more people have health care, but those unable to qualify for subsidies are getting killed.
Wait. Donald Trump said that, right?
No. This is huge, though. Bill Clinton said this yesterday. Wow. This is what he had to say. And what he's talking about, just as Republicans have said, there's a whole pile of Americans out there who don't qualify for the subsidies. Mm-hmm. And so what they're finding out, if they want health care, their premiums are going up like crazy. Their deductibles are high. And so this is what Bill Clinton is talking about. There's a whole pot, millions of Americans are out there that are caught in the middle that Obamacare does not cover. This was the warning against Obamacare. It was the warning against Obamacare. So Governor Pence has been handed, as I say, a jewel
to use
against Tim Kaine tonight.
Well, this is something we probably going to go back to later on in the show because as you said, it's huge. But we have a guest with us. One of the things that we've discussed on this show is the amazing people that Donald Trump is surrounding himself with in terms of those who are advising him, those who are on his campaign staff. And included in that group are a largely significant Christian, strong Christians who seem to have Donald Trump's ear. And we have one of those people on the line with us now. It is certainly my pleasure and our pleasure here at the American Family Association have with us on the line now, Dr. Ben Carson.
Amen.
Dr. Carson, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You have with you, Dr. Carson, me, Abe Hamilton and Fred Jackson. And actually, you and I are going to be this Friday at the same event. But the Pensmore Religious Liberty Symposium at the College of the Ozarks. Tell us a little bit about that event and what you planned. You don't have to give it all away, but what you plan to share when you speak on Friday.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about what this nation represents. You know, this is a nation, unlike many others, who believe that their rights and privileges are extended by the government. Our founding document says that ours come from our Creator, also known as God. Mm-hmm. So if we believe that, and now we're in the process of kicking our Creator out, where does that leave us? Sort of in no man's land. And I think we're seeing that in the deterioration, the rapid deterioration of our country, and our failure to really understand what we are about and what our values and principles are.
Absolutely. Dr. Carson, what you just said, and our founding documents and our Declaration of Independence, our rights are referred to as inalienable rights, which is just as you said, our nation was founded on the principle that man doesn't have the ability to give rights. God gives rights, which means
exactly.
men can't take them away, which is why they're referred to as inalienable. And among those rights, as enshrined in the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, which just a little, and I'm pretty sure you, I know you know this, and our listeners are I'm sure familiar with it, but the Bill of Rights was promulgated in order to get a apprehensive and hesitant American populace to embrace the concept of a federal government. And in order to do so, they had to have a communication that says, listen, you don't have to fear. We're not rebuilding a Britain. We're not enshrining a king, but we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But the American people say, hey, you better explain to me how and why the government can't do to me what King George did to me. And they said, listen, we have these Bill of Rights that shows that the people in America are protected from its government. And the first right that is protected is religious liberty. It appears that the founders understood.
Even though we had the Constitution and we had the Bill of Rights, the other ingredient that was absolutely necessary in order to secure our liberty was courage. And that's the part that may be missing today. Nobody wants to be called a name. You know, nobody wants to withstand any consequences. So a lot of the people, particularly of faith, rather sit down and keep their mouth shut and allow the secular progressives to drive the boat. And that's how we've gotten into the situation that we're in now. We have got to unleash our courage. Freedom is not free. You have to fight for it. You have to be willing to stand up for it. And this is what we have got to get people to understand.
Dr. Carson, Fred Jackson here. Do you think there, within the Christian community, there's been some intimidation by the various court cases that have occurred, the stories that are out there? I'm thinking of the Christian couple in Oregon who lost their business because they wouldn't bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Christians, just not they were really not being nasty, but they said, you know, you can go down the street, someone down there can make a cake for your homosexual wedding, but we can't do it. The government came after them. There are those stories out there, and there are many others now from college campuses that you're not allowed to say anything that somebody says, I'm offended if you say homosexuality is a sin. So how do you deal with individuals, Christians, who feel intimidated by this and just want to crawl in the corner and say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and be a secret witness?
Well, what we have to do is give them some perspective, help them to understand what is actually going on. For instance, I have no problem, quite frankly, with anybody doing anything they want to do. With their personal relationships. You know, God gives us choices. He gives us a brain. We can make our choices. And I don't want to force people to believe and act the way I do. But by the same token, they shouldn't be able to force me to do what they want. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be able to change definitions and then force you to comply with their new change of definition, particularly when it is in contradistinction to what is talked about in the Bible. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that that is the real agenda. If you can negate God's word in one area, you can negate God's word in every area. Mm.
You know, I've been reading the latest book from George Barna, and he's been surveying in the last 12 months, and he lays some of this blame for the intimidation factor at the doorstep of churches who are refusing to deal with issues like abortion, like homosexual marriage. And then the belief, if the pastor is not dealing with it, the belief in the pew is, well, I better keep my mouth shut about this also. So is there a message for churches to take the lead on this battle?
There is. You know, it was a Johnson Amendment, you know, that created a situation where churches jeopardize their 501c3 status if the minister advocates anything in a political realm. Well, that's craziness. That is a direct violation of freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And, you know, Donald Trump, of course, has advocated the repeal of the Johnson Amendment and is very strong in that regard. You know, churches should demand of Hillary Clinton that she also advocate for the repeal of it. Of course, they'll be whistling, you know, in the dark because she's not going to do it. But the fact of the matter is, religious liberty is at stake because we have fallen asleep at the wheel. Now, in 2012, 25 million registered Christians sat on their hands. They did not vote. And they just said, you know, we can't vote between a lesser of two evils. Many are thinking about doing the same thing now. But if you really think about it, every day when you get up and put your clothes on and walk out the door, you're constantly deciding between lesser of evils throughout the course of the day. That's one of the reasons that God gave us a brain. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, getting a paper cut is pretty bad. Nobody likes it. It stinks. It hurts like the dickens. But so does getting both your legs chopped off. Now, what if you had to decide between a paper cut and getting your legs chopped off? I think most of us would make the correct decision. We'd be able to decide between the lesser of those evils. Well, we have to be able to do that in all aspects of our lives.
Dr. Carson, this is Abe here. You really struck a chord with me when you said that, yeah, we have our Constitution, we have our Declaration, but the unspoken, if you will, component that kind of led to being able to utilize or exercise the freedoms that we have was courage. Can you talk to our listeners a little bit more about what you mean when you say the courage has led us into the quagmire that we're in right now?
Well, the secular progressive movement has been working for the last 50 to 60 years to get to the point where they're at right now, you know, largely having control of our educational system, of our media, so that they can begin to influence the generations and change the thinking in this country. That's a large part of what they're doing. All they need is four more years so that they can appoint two of the four Supreme Court justices and stack the federal court system. After that, it really doesn't matter who the president is. And secular progressives really do not care whether you agree with them or not, as long as you sit down and shut up. And that's where the problem lies. We're complying with their desire. We sit down, we keep our mouths shut. We try to stay under the radar. We don't want to create any controversy. Well, what if the ancestors had done that? What if they just said, well, we don't like King George III, and we don't like the tyranny, but you know, if we keep our mouths shut, nothing will happen to us. Well, obviously they didn't do that, and I'm very happy that they didn't do that. I'm very happy that our soldiers decided to fight fascism and decided to fight Hitler, and that D-Day happened, and they stepped over their dead comrades, and they overwhelmed the Axis forces and took that beach. I'm very glad that in the War of 1812, our soldiers at Fort McHenry valiantly fought that night and wouldn't let that flag go down and held it up with their own bodies and fought against the British and turned the tide of that war. It takes courage if we want to have our freedoms.
And Dr. Carson, do you think that same courage is necessary to get everybody, but especially the Christians, out to the polls this November 8th?
Yeah, it takes that kind of courage and that determination, fully recognizing that somebody might call you a name. Big deal. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I don't think they teach that to kids anymore. Now they teach them instead, you got to have a safe zone. you got to go someplace where nobody can hurt your feelings. Are you kidding me? This is America. This is the place where the can-do spirit took a country that wasn't even registered to the pinnacle of the world in record time. Mm-hmm. We don't do that because we're little namby-bambies.
What are you hearing? You've been mentioning about, of course, recent history, evangelicals staying out, particularly in 2012, and not voting, Christians not voting, millions, and it would have made a huge difference back in 2012. What are you hearing out there in this election cycle? Are there people saying, look, we made a mistake in 2012 by staying home. This time we're not going to make it. Has Hillary Clinton been able to energize the conservative voters out there enough that you think there's going to be a difference this time?
Oh, well, there'll definitely be a difference this time. And, you know, one of the efforts I'm involved with, My Faith Votes, is disseminating that information across the nation to churches, to synagogues, to all kinds of people of faith, that our fate is in our own hands. You know, and 2012... you know, the 25 million that didn't vote, the margin of difference was 4.5 million. Mm. So you can see, do the math, you can see it was huge. We can clearly control the direction and the destiny of our country, but we have to be willing to do it. And we cannot succumb to those who will say to you, you're a person of integrity, and I admire you. I admire the fact that you won't vote if this person disagrees with you in this one area. That's just craziness.
Hmm.
Wow. I think you make the case very plainly, because all too often you hear people saying that, oh, well, I don't know if I can really do anything about it. I don't really, you know if my vote can count. But when you realize in 2012 that there are 25 million registered Christians who were registered to vote, and the difference in the vote totals was 4.5 million.
Yeah.
I think you lay it out completely.
I think if we do that again, we will have completely abandoned our children and our grandchildren and the heritage of our country, and it will be on us. Fortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I actually am very encouraged. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson perhaps said it best. He said that, you know, we would take our eye off the ball, and as a result, the government would do what governments always do. They grow, they metastasize, they infiltrate, and they dominate. That's what governments do. That's their natural habitat. It's sort of like a lion. You can't blame a lion for killing a lamb and eating it. That's what lions do. And that's what governments do when they're not constrained. We have the ability to constrain it. It was built into our Constitution. And Jefferson said, before we turned into something else, the people of America would recognize what was going on, would awaken, and would take responsibility and make the changes that are necessary. This is the last opportunity to do that right now.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Carson. This is Dr. Ben Carson, retired neurosurgeon, former presidential candidate, and just a great, great guy. He's an inspiration to many across the country, an inspiration to my family and I. We thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right, stay with us. We will come back after the break. We have more compelling guests like we just had. Just now we have Jack Sunderman. He'll be coming up soon later on this morning, who is an amazing guest. I won't try to spoil it now. You have Abe here and Fred Jackson on American Family Radio on Today's Issues this morning. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, News Director Fred Jackson and AFA Attorney Abraham Hamilton III will tag team the news headlines of the day.
We certainly provide each day programming that challenges people to think about the big issues of the day.
We'll also talk with Riley Banks Snyder, author of Riley Unlikely, With Simple Childlike Faith, Amazing Things Can Happen. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. The number twos are debating tonight in Virginia at Longwood University, Republican Mike Pence and Democrat Tim Kaine, the governor versus the guy who acts like a goofy television sitcom dad. Instead of lecterns, the candidates will gather around a table. Not expecting much in the way of fireworks, might even be a good idea to stock up on some no-dos. Meanwhile, the mainstream media keeps hounding Donald Trump about his tax returns. Trump refuses to budge, even though some of his supporters are urging him to come clean. It seems to me the issue is not Trump's tax returns. The issue is how a woman who spent her life in public service acquired tens of millions of dollars without working in the private sector. Any chance an enterprising journalist might dig into that big pile of stink? There's probably a better chance of them covering what really happened to her emails. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. I am Abe Hamilton, in with Fred Jackson. We have subbed in today for Ed and Tim, who are at the Cove right now. I mean, man, I don't know about you, but I was just riveted just now listening to Dr. Ben Carson. Wow. Talk about what's going on, and I don't think he presented the issue too broadly at all. I mean, the facts are we are living in a day where you have seated, for example, seven circuit appellate court judges, Judge Posner, who is saying things like, well, I think it's a waste of time for judges to read the Constitution, to study the history of our country, to read founding documents. It's a waste of time. And we have a presidential candidate who has said publicly that if there are people in America who have religious beliefs that contradict or conflict with public policy, quote unquote, wink and nod, we know what she's talking about, then your religious beliefs must change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the environment in which we are living right now. And like you say, Ed, this isn't some crazy right winger saying this, you know, that the laws are going to change. This is Hillary Clinton.
Said it herself.
Said it herself.
Yeah.
Go back and check it. Google it, folks.
Yeah.
It's there. It's not a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. Then you have the United States Commission on Civil Rights issuing a 306-page report detailing the nuts and bolts, which I call the playbook for the demolition of religious liberty in America, explaining how the nouveau civil rights orthodoxy of the day must trump the foundational right of religious liberty. Yeah. That religious liberty is just code word for bigotry and discrimination.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here. This is not something that's coming down the line. This is what is happening right now.
And that's what Dr. Carson, I think, was warning us again. You can't let this opportunity pass. This may be the last chance that Christians in America have a say in this debate about where our freedoms are going. And unlike 2012, and this was a point he made very strongly, unlike 2012, people said, you know what, I don't like either candidate, so I'm just going to stay home. Mm-hmm. And what Dr. Carson said, that's not an option. And because of what happened in 2012, 25 million, he said, Christians, registered voters stayed home. And Barack Obama was reelected with only just over 4 million votes.
That's
so,
right.
So what a difference 25 million would make.
A huge difference.
Huge difference. The other thing we didn't get a chance to ask him, and I think it's a point worth mentioning, Abe, is that some people may be discouraged. Obviously, the left-wing media doesn't like Donald Trump, so they read all those stories out there. And it creates an image after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that's happening out there that you need to be careful of, folks, is polls.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for the polls. Everybody and their cousin is doing polls out there. And a lot of these polls come from liberal media. And don't think for a moment that, you know, when the New York Times calls out and does a poll, they're aiming for certain areas of their coverage area, we'll call it, that they know where mostly liberal people live. And so you're going to get a skew in all of this. And a lot of these polls, they come out as national polls, but maybe they've talked to 400 people. That's it. And then they come out with the figure, well, 64% favor Hillary Clinton, 42% whatever favor Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera. And so be careful of that. You're going to see more of these kinds of polls now over the next few weeks leading up to Election Day. And the mainstream liberal media will make headlines mm-hmm. out of them, big headlines out of them. Be careful about those things. Whether the polls are going either way, just be careful. I think what people have to do is, take the admonition of Dr. Carson there. Just decide today, I'm going out to go and vote. I'm going to do it. I may have skipped 2012, but this time, not going to do that. We're not saying, you go out and say, I like everything about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that. But at the same time, weigh the two between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Where do they stand on the issues? They're very open about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's no secret of where Hillary Clinton stands on the issue of abortion, for example. Mm-hmm. So weigh the two candidates on the issue, and there are valuable tools out there for people, voter guides, that have been put together for the very reason to educate you on where the candidates stand on the issues.
You can go to our own AFA Action website. It's available there. We have several different resources that are available to help us not only to be voters, but to be informed voters. Well, up next, we have a guest here in studio, which we had the privilege here at our home base at American Family Association to hear him this morning during our morning devotions. And man, I got to tell you, it was amazing. And in conversing with you, Fred, you told me you've known this gentleman for quite some time. So would you please introduce our next guest?
Yeah, I call him the Donald Wildman of Australia, all right? And even though he hails originally from Memphis, Tennessee, he has been in Australia for almost 20 years or more.
Over 30.
Jack Sunnerman. He is the head of the Australian Federation for the Family. And now he's a bit shy. We may have to draw him out, Abe. If you know anything about Don Wildman, like I say, we cloned Don Wildman and we produced Jack Sunnerman right here. And he's been a friend of American Family Association. And I tell you what, folks, Abe was talking about, Jack, your message to us this morning in devotion. There are serious battles here in this country, but you have been on the front lines of fighting battles in Australia. But I tell you what, we were encouraged this morning, Jack, because the main frame of your message was get out and do something, Christian. We still have an opportunity to be salt and light. Get out and do something. And God is still giving victories.
Amen, he is, Fred. You say that you're a friend of mine. Well, we are deeply appreciative of the support that the American Family Association has always given to us in Australia with the Australian Federation for the Family. First, we have to realize how much pornography has permeated every aspect of our culture, leaving its greatest stench on the most vulnerable, our little children. They deserve a better go. They're going to grow up and curse us for the society we're handing them. I do not want my grandchildren cursing me. I've just come from the Coalition to End All Forms of Sexual Exploitation. I encourage people to Google CESE. That's the Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation.
This was Summit, a meeting in Houston, Texas.
In Houston, Texas, International Leaders, CESE Summit 2016. Google it. Look at the speakers. And some of the data they brought out was, shocked me. And I've been working in this area for a long, long time. It's so bad today that real pictures of naked women is nothing more than bad porn today. Real pictures of naked women, according to Naomi Wolf, is nothing more than bad porn.
You know, I often say, and I think this is something where we need to park a little bit and recalibrate, because I often say we live in such a pornographic society that many of us are desensitized to actually having the warning lights go off in our hearts and heads when we're around things that we shouldn't be around.
Abe, it's so true. It takes 0.3 seconds for a visual image to permanently embed itself in your brain and will never leave, and we have become effectively desensitized. In Australia, they take the covers of the porn magazines, blow them up to poster size, display them in shopfront windows and on the sidewalks in front of shopping areas where you can't even go to a shopping mall with a stroller with your children without them becoming desensitized to the pornographer's depiction of a woman. And pornography is not real. It is perverted. It's a perverted and a degraded excuse for human sexuality. And unfortunately, we have our children growing up accepting their portrayal as normal. By the way, if you do not want Google to teach your children about sex, go to the Google site and click on their safe search option. Do you know they have that there? And if you don't want Google teaching your children about sex, go there. I didn't know about that until this. You know, there were 14 million porn site pages in 1998. 14 million. 2.3 billion today. Wow. 2.3 billion today, with 17 billion visits every day. 17 billion visits every day. This is the kind of thing that was caught up. Now, this conference was against all forms of sexual exploitation, and they had people dealing with sex trafficking, with sex slavery, with porn. But the interesting thing was that they brought it all back to porn. The whole thing, the whole conference, and these are the top people in the world, driven by it, financed by it, ruled by it, fueled by it. It's all the porn that has saturated our culture. And those that are addicted to it lie about it. Dr. Ted Roberts, he said addicts lie.
Jack, I want you to get in a little bit for us what's happening in Australia with young girls. And people may say, well, that will never happen here in the United States. It shocked me, the information you gave us this morning, the kind of battles you're now facing there in Australia. When you unhook yourself from the authority of God's word, the mind is depraved. And I want you to give us some examples of the battles you're fighting on behalf of little girls. Little girls.
Fred, we have in the state of Queensland in Australia, Penthouse magazine legally sold to, accessed by, displayed to, and perused by children. The children, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, the federal authorities that classify the magazines put Penthouse in an unrestricted category, kind of like a Good Housekeeping magazine. They have been looking at porn for so long. Abe, it's like you were saying, they have become desensitized. They say, oh, that's not pornographic. And I have people all over Australia tell me Penthouse is not pornographic. That's shocking and astonishing to anyone with a biblical Christian worldview. Anyone with a biblical Christian worldview would also help protect children from unrestricted access to porn. I can't even get the Christian activist groups in Queensland to help my campaign to protect children from unrestricted access to it. We have overruled the inadequate guidelines in other states, but in Queensland, we've met an obstacle. Now, the obstacle's there, but obstacles are there to overcome, and we'll overcome it. We'll beat it. It's a winnable war. We'll keep fighting the battle till we win it. We would just win it sooner if more of these Australian groups would come on side with us. We have to stop worshiping socialism and start worshiping God.
Explain that. Because our audience is familiar with this term, socialism. You're bringing this into the equation of the problem.
There's such a socialist, saturated society in Australia. All of the Christian schools are government-funded. All of them. I try to explain to them
All?
Yes. All Christian schools, they cannot exist without government money. And that was initiated by Christian organizations petitioning the government to fund their schools. We have Christian organizations in Australia right now. One of the biggest petitions going through the nation is demanding the government pay mothers who stay at home. Mm. Now, that's not the epitome of Christianity. That's the epitome of socialism. We have to stop giving to Caesar the things that belong to God, which is our children. The government, government as parent, as I said this morning, is a cruel it's the government that has approved the sale of Penthouse to children. Mm. It's the government that says abortion is okay. It's the government that allows porn to... It's the government in Australia that allows our daughters to become prostitutes. They implement what they think is good.
That's legal?
That's legal, and we're fighting that with our submissions to Parliament all the time. And what we do is bring up the data. Thankfully, in Tasmania, the state where I live, one of the legislators came to me recently and said, thanks to my submission and others, that we have knocked the prostitution legalization issue off the agenda for the Tasmania State Parliament. I've gone up to at the invitation of pastors in local areas. In fact, one area, the largest family tourist destination in Australia, the second largest in the nation, had an illegal brothel and applications for new ones. I went up there and spoke amongst the churches, went to the city council, and we shut the illegal one. We closed it. We blocked the application for two new ones. One of the new ones then appealed that decision and went into the Planning Appeals Court, where they always win because you cannot use moral arguments. Mm. So we went before the Planning Appeals thing with our data, and they ruled in our favor and blocked that one.
Wow.
Not only that, but the state council, the city council people, in Port Stephens, that's where it was, Port Stephens, New South Wales, second largest family tourist destination behind the Gold Coast in Australia. One of the councillors wanted our data so they could get that data to the New South Wales Association of State Councils to show other members that run the state councils and make these decisions that there's data there to show pornography harms our culture. Mm. Prostitution harms our culture. I even went on national television in Australia and said to the moderator, well, you know, would you be happy with your wife or your daughter or your mother working in the industry? Because the premier of this state says it's okay for my daughter. Now, he wouldn't want his own daughter working as one, so he says it's okay for mine, which makes him a two-faced, double-standard hypocrite.
That's right.
So we have to speak. Now, I didn't know we were going to change the law there in Port Stephens, but we did. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that data was going to get into the hands of all the state councils around our largest state, where Sydney's the capital, New South Wales. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my data before the parliamentary committee in Tasmania was going to knock it off the political agenda in Tasmania, but it did it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what I'm doing. But I know I can speak Jesus into the picture, and I can see the picture change.
Amen.
But we have to be concerned. Where are the men of God whose hands have been trained for war? I don't even think they know there's a battle going on. Abortion in Australia is our most common operation, our most common elective procedure in Australia.
Most common elective medical procedure.
Yes, most common elective medical procedure in the nation is the killing of our innocent unborn. And God cannot bless our culture as long as that continues. I think it's in the book of Nehemiah several times. He says, if you pray for those whose hands shed innocent blood, I'll not listen.
Mm. Mm. You know, we've been talking, obviously we're talking a lot in this country right now, Jack, about the election. Tell us about the man who is the...
Yes, our prime minister.
Tell us about your prime minister and his background.
Our prime minister, Malcolm Turnbull, who is supposed to be on the good side. He's not the Labor side. Labor has always been against everything we have ever proposed in Australia. But our Prime Minister now, the Conservative Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, when he was a lawyer working for Kerry Packer in Australia, Australia's wealthiest man, when he was a lawyer working for him in the publishing empire, he flew to Chicago and worked with Hugh Hefner to set up all the groundwork for Playboy magazine to come to Australia, Australian Playboy.
This is your prime minister.
This is our prime minister today. He's now, and our prime minister.
He did that when he was an attorney.
When he was attorney, not only did he do that, but he defends a child pornographer in Australia who takes naked photos of little 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls, but he calls it art. He says he's an artist, and this is the expression of his art. Well, it's child porn is what a child sexual exploitation material is what the people at the conference said. Mm-hmm. They said, quit calling it child porn. It's child sexual exploitation material, which is what it is. Also, the man who is the prime minister, Malcolm Turnbull, he is openly, actively, and solidly supporting the idea that homosexual relationships should be called marriage and should give them the right to marry. So he's on the record as being for same-sex marriage. I'm on the record as being for traditional marriage. But, you know, he set up Playboy in Australia. We defeated Playboy in Australia. We ran them off. They no longer exist. Mm-hmm. So although he is the prime minister now, when he set up the magazine he was instrumental in setting up, I ran off. So I think I can undo other things he's supporting because God's already shown me that he can work on my behalf in a way that even what the prime minister has set up, he can undo. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
And I have to say this for our listeners, because what you're hearing right now is, as he says, and Brian says it on Focal Point all the time, that we're fighting a winnable war, not because it's based upon our skill, our ingenuity, our power, but the Lord is simply looking for somebody willing to stand in the gap.
Amen.
All through Scripture, the Lord very rarely used the majority to do anything.
Yeah,
He almost always uses a remnant, a small force that's willing to say, listen, I fear nothing but God, and I love nothing more than God than His people. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to give my life in service of His purposes. I mean, it's come to that.
Abe, you're so right. We came to Australia and were shocked at the promotion and availability of porn. And in Memphis, where I was raised, they don't display smut to children. We moved to Melbourne, and they've got these big posters of bare-breasted women and all kinds of things blown up to poster size. My wife, Margaret, said, I'm not going to raise my – Christina was 1 year old. Mm-hmm. And Margaret said, I'm not going to raise my daughter viewing that kind of material. But everybody said, oh, you can't change it, or you can't make a difference. She said, don't tell me I can't make a difference. And she began this whole ministry, which is now known as the Australian Federation for the Family. And we've changed all those laws. No longer can they do that. No longer can they use our 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, which they were doing when we got there. We got the age raised to 18. They can no longer exploit that young age group, which they were doing. Somebody needs to protect them. Well, I'll protect them. And if I can do something better or more, I'll do something better and more because they need to be better protected. But we did get the law changed. We've even run off all of the dial-a-porn numbers in Australia. We've run them off. We canceled the first one because Penthouse had one. And the we put it in our newsletter and said, if this concerns you, write to the Minister for Communications. The telecommunications carrier, I've got a letter that says, due to the massive number of complaints received about the message content of this service, that's a quote, the minister has instructed us to disconnect it. Mm. So they just pulled the plug because people spoke. Mm. Don't tell me we can't make a difference. Go tell someone else. We're making it. Now, when we got the one canceled, Margaret, my wife, said, Jack, we got one canceled. Let's cancel all of them. I said, Margaret, steady on here. But we did. They're all canceled. Now, the way we got them canceled, which is what you can do here with the internet, this is very exciting. We had federal legislation. Now, listen, I don't know what to do, and we got federal legislation initiated. I don't know what to do, and we got this law into Parliament and voted on and passed, and I don't even know what to do. We got the law that says if you want that dial-a-porn service on your phone number, you have to opt into the service. We had examples of children ringing these numbers, passing the numbers around at school, running up $100 and $1,000 phone bills because it's so much per minute. And so the Minister for Communications under the John Howard government, Senator Richard Alston, a fine man, he said, well, yes, that's he passed legislation that put that now where if you want it, you have to opt in. The media reported across Australia. Do you know how many people, Abe, opted in to the dial-a-porn? Imagine calling up a man on the phone, calling him, say, I'd like to have that pornographic service on my phone. You know how many people did? 11.
11.
11.
In the whole country.
Across the nation. Now, these people don't care about our morality. They care about our money. So we made it uneconomic. That's the same thing we did to Playboy magazine with the boycott. We just took the page out of Don Wildman's book, as I always do, and we just boycotted the advertisers, boycotted the retailers. Do you know, with the advertisers in the magazines, we've had 100% success. I do not know how to do any better than that.
That's amazing. There was another issue where they were going to vote 11-1 in favor.
Very good.
What was that?
Very good. A senator on the panel on telecommunication standards, they were setting up pay TV. We didn't have cable TV. It was just getting started, and they're just setting it up. A senator phoned me, Senator Brian Harradine, a fine man, fine man. He said, Jack, I'm one vote on this committee, and I'm against X-rated, but we're going to allow X-rated on pay TV. Everybody has it, and everybody tells us there's no link, there's no study, there's no report that shows anything's wrong, so we're going to allow it. What can we do? Now, I've got these people calling me and asking me what to do, and I don't know what to do.
These are government people.
Oh, yeah. He was on the committee, Senate committee, establishing telecommunication standards, and he wants me to tell him what to do. So I called Don, and I called others here in the U.S. and got the name of Dr. Judith Reisman. Mm-hmm. And I brought Dr. Judith Reisman to Australia, had her in each of our capital cities to debate media people. If you ever get her to debate media people, I encourage you to do so. She'll wipe the floor with whoever they bring on. So she went before this panel. Remember, they were voting 11-1.
In favor
of X-rated on pay TV. In favor.
Okay.
She comes before the committee and gives the data, and then they vote 11-1. Against X-rated on pay TV. We are the only country that I know of, I could be mistaken, but I don't know of any other country in the Western world that has pay TV with no X-rated but Australia.
Wow.
Because I decided to make a phone call and find out what to do. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do something. David, little shepherd boy David, picked up 5 stones when he slew Goliath. He didn't know what to do, but he was going to do something. Mm-hmm. And all of us out there, I'm not even very smart. I used to be with a campus ministry. And I tell people on the university campuses, when God got me, he didn't get no prize. I wasn't very intelligent. And the people with the ministry used to say, Jack, you got to quit saying that. So they made me take a little IQ test. And they said it was okay. I could say that as much as I wanted. So God, that's a true story. That's a true story. So God is not interested in our intelligence. He's interested in our availability. Are we available to be made a fool of?
Mm.
To speak and be embarrassed and to say something about a retailer selling smut or a legislator saying it's okay for our daughters to work as prostitutes? I'm available and I get embarrassed and I make mistakes, but I'm going to be doing something.
Amen. Wow.
Whoa.
Well, thank you. Before we're almost done, let's squeeze one more question in. You have a warning, and this was one of the statements you made this morning. You have a warning about parents who think it's okay to give their kids these smartphones.
Oh, listen. Nancy Jo Sales, in her book, American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers, get the book. She was a speaker at this conference, maybe one of the best. She was signing the book for me, and I told her I had 5 granddaughters under 7. And I fear for them. I mean, even Josh McDowell at this conference said, who are they going to marry?
Mm.
And he launched his book at the conference about porn in the church. Mm-hmm. Who are these young girls of mine my grand are going to marry? Anyway, Nancy Jo, who's with Vanity Fair magazine, award-winning journalist, a great presentation, she stopped in the middle of her signature, looked up at me and said, don't let those girls get an iPhone. She stopped to tell me that. She said, don't let those girls around any others with an iPhone. That's a drastic warning that I hope everyone is listening to.
Because of the availability of images.
Of pornographic imagery. It is changing the culture. It's a phenomenon. It's never happened before in human history. And this coalition summit in Houston opened my eyes to things I had no idea was going on. And the culture is embracing our children. The pornographers know how to target our children. They're setting up free sites to get them into more sites so they'll get them hooked. It's an addictive material that they're flooding them with. And our children are growing up addicted to pornography. It is not their fault. It is our fault. Let's show them a better culture.
Wow.
Don't get them a smartphone.
Jack, thank you so much for being with us here. Wow. Such compelling interview, compelling information. It's, as I said, our culture is so pornographic. We kind of live, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most extreme. We kind of live right about a 7,
yeah. Or nine.
Or a 9. So it makes it hard to identify it. But I thank you so much, my brother, for your fight, for your stand. And I, for one, am encouraged. I'm encouraged.
Good man.
To continue this fight. I have little children myself. And I know our listeners are encouraged as well. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. There's more to come when we come back after this break. Stay close.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.